Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We'll routine to board a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The table. All rise for King to serve the table and the knights of the round table.
Have you ever seen a snorky?
No.
Well, you're gonna see one soon.
Now he's snorkeling a loud trumpet cartoon.
No such thing as a sea serpent. With guest star Snorky.
Back at the dawn of history, 100 million years BC, the strange creatures that fill the sea had urgent urges like you and like me.
He sells wood, she sells, and he shells red, she shells.
And the he-weed woo the she-weed, and the he-fishies the she. Pterodactyls too, bill and coo, and even old fossils pitch some woo.
And even the flora and fauna wanna.
And all triceratops and triceratops
meet me.
Yeah. All triceratops and triceratops
meet me.
Then suddenly, a carnivorous meat-eater Tyrannosaurus Rex went for a brontosaurus of the opposite sex. Some say he sunk his fangs in her jugular vein, but actually, she was feeling no pain. She simply shrugged her shoulders, she sighed, and then she said, ooh,
oh well, better wed than dead.
And bingo, a baby they begat and begot, only 9 million months after tying the knot. A snuggly, snarkle-shaped bundle of joy, a cooing and gooing mad shotgun boy. But then the wildest thing occurred, when little Snarky spoke his first word.
Was it an earthquake? Or was it a tornado? Or a volcano?
No, 'twas no tornado, volcano, or quake from the bowels of the sea. 'Cause actually, in factually, 'twas only that
little old woodchucker, me.
Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y? Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y?
Then came the Stone Age, the Ice Age, and the Coal Age, and worst of all, that Cool Age, the Teenage.
Then 1 million years BC, all living Neanderthal men agree, from the depths of their prehistorical sea, came a horrible creature, too ugly to see. But that was no horrible creature from the prehistorical sea. 'Cause actually, in factually, it was only that
little mud pie maker, me.
Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y? Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y? In ancient Egypt on the River Nile, Cleopatra had a headache that was simply vile. So Cleo decided to do herself in with a bitey-tasting aspirin. Wasn't Cleo's aspirin that did her in, you see? 'Cause actually, in factually, 'twas only that
little muddy mummy maker, me.
Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y? Snarky, snarky, big S and big O, are we K-Y?
Then
at Loch Ness in the Scottish Sea, They did swear that they did see an uninvited lake snake cast, making a mess of Orlok Ness.
Sea serpent!
Where?
There!
But that was no sea serpent seen on the Scottish Sea, cause actually and factually, t'was only the family of
Little Mud Pie Maker, me.
Snorky, snorky, big S and big O R E K Y. Snorky, snorky, big S and big O R E K Y. But wait a moment, let me see if those four humps are your family. There's one last thing that's puzzling me. What can that tail that's trailing you be?
Oh, now I know, how foolish of me.
Just lift it up and you will see that actually and factually it's only a
little genuine sea serpent me.
Snorky, snorky, big S and big O are winky wine. Snorky, snorky, big S and big O are winky wine.
Gee, Mud, I like it. Snorky, wait for me. And so ends the tale of
Snorky, Snorky, big S and big O R E K Y. Snorky, Snorky, big S and big O R E K Y.
Funny papers we all know. He lives way back a long time ago. He don't eat nothing but a bear cat stew. Well, this cat's name is Alley-Oo. He got a chauffeur that's a genuine dinosaur. And he can knuckle your head before you count too far. He got a big ugly club and a head full of how. Like great big lions and grizzly bears. He's the toughest man that is alive.
Alley-oop.
Wearing clothes from a wildcat's hide.
Alley-oop.
He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
He rides through the jungle tearing limbs off of trees.
Alley-oop.
Knocking great big monsters dead on their knees.
Alley-oop.
cats don't bug him cause they know better. Cause he's a mean motor scooter and a bad go-getter. He's the toughest man there is alive. Wears clothes from a wildcat's hide. He's the king of the jungle jive.
Look at that caveman go.
There he goes. Look at that caveman go. He sure is hip, ain't he? Like what's happening? He's too much. Right, daddy, right. Hi-yo, dinosaur. Right, daddy, right. Get him, man. Like Hillsville.
Now here's a little story. To tell it is a must. About an unsung hero that moves away a dust. Some people make a fortune, others earn a mint. My old man don't earn much. In fact, he's flipping skint.
Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big gold nail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up that he calls them Daisy Roots. Some folks give tips at Christmas and some of them forget. So when he picks their bins up, he spills some on the step. Now one old man got nasty and two the council wrote. Next time my old man went round there, he punched him up the throat. Oh, my old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears got blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. I say, Les.
Yeah?
I found a police dog in my dustbin.
Well, how do you know he's a police dog?
He had a policeman with him. Though my old man's a dustman, he's got an heart of gold. He got married recently, though he's 86 years old. We said, here, hang on, Dad, you're getting past your prime. He said, well, when you get my age, it helps to pass the time. Oh! My old man's a dustman, he wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in a council flat. I say. My dustbin's full of lilies.
Well, throw them away, then.
I can't, lilies wearing them. Now, one day, whilst in a hurry, he missed a lady's bin. He hadn't gone but a few yards when she chased after him.
What game do you think you're playing?
She cried right from the yard.
You've missed me, am I too late?
Now jump up on the cart. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. I say.
That's you again.
My dustbin's absolutely full with toadstools.
How do you know it's full?
Cause there's not mushroom inside. He found a tiger's head one day nailed to a piece of wood. The tiger looked quite miserable, but I suppose he should. Just then from out a window a voice began to wail. He said, oi, where's me tiger's head?
4 foot from his tail.
Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. Next time you see a dustman looking all pale and sad, don't kick him in the dustbin. It might be my old dad.
Ma-na-ma-na. Whatever that means.
Manamana. Manamana.
phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
Just a second. It's for you.
Phenomena.
The question is, what is a phenomena?
The question is, who cares?
God said, great, both of us together, one each end, and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it. We was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right said Fred, give a shot to Charlie. Up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, even and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles, and the things what held the candles. But it did no good, well I never thought it would. All right, said Fred, have to take the feet off to get them feet off, wouldn't take a mow. Took its feet off, even took the seat off, should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea, and we said, righto. All right, said Fred, have to take the door off, need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and right said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea, and Charlie had a think, and he said, look Fred, I've got a sort of feeling, if we remove the ceiling, with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble? Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea, and then we went home. I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye, like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One-eyed.
Really came down to earth and he lit in a tree. I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, don't eat me. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I wouldn't eat you, cause you're so tough.
It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Sure looks strange to me.
One horn?
I said, Mr. Purple People Eater, what's your line? He said, eating purple people, and it sure is fine. But that's not the reason that I came to land.
Get a job in a rock and roll band.
Well, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toed, undergrowth, flying purple people eater.
We wear short shorts
friendly little people eater, what a sight to see. And then he swung from the tree and he lit on the ground and he started to rock, really rocking around. It was a crazy ditty with a swinging tune.
Sing a bop, bop, a boop, a lap, a loom, bam, boom.
Hey, bless my soul, rock and roll, flying purple people eater, pigeon toad, undercoat, flying purple people eater.
All right, short, short.
Flying purple people eater, what a sight to see.
Purple people.
Hey, went on his way and then what do you know? I saw him last night on a TV show. He was blowing it out, really knocking him dead, playing rock and roll music through the horn in his head.
For the Gummy Bear album in stores on November 13th, with lots of music, videos, and extras.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, tummy, funny, lucky gummy bear. I'm a jelly bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a moving, grooving, jamming, singing gummy bear. Oh, hell.
Gummy, 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 gummy bear. Gummy, 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 gummy bear.
I was strolling in the zoo when I met a man who thought he knew the lot. He was laying down the law about the habits of baboons and the number of quills a porcupine has got. I asked him, "What's that creature there?" He answered, "It's a helk." I might have gone on thinking that was true if the animal in question hadn't put that chap to shame and remarked,
"I ain't a helk. I'm a canoe. I'm a canoe. I'm a canoe. The nicest work of nature in the zoo. I'm a canoe. How do you do? You really ought to canoe wahoo's wahoo. I'm a canoe. Spell G-N-U. I'm not a camel or a kangaroo. So let me introduce. I'm canoe, the man no moose. Oh, canoe, canoe, canoe. I'm a canoe.
I had taken pitched a lodging was down at Russellington-on-Sea, whence I traveled on to Ashton-under-Lyme. And the second night I stayed there, I was wakened from a dream, which I'll tell you all about some other time. Among the hunting trophies on the wall above my bed, stuffed and mounted was a face I thought I knew. A bison? An okapi? Could it be a haughty beast? Then I seemed to hear a voice.
I'm a canoe.
I'm a canoe. A another canoe. I wish I could gnash my teeth at you. I'm a canoe. How do you do? You really ought to canoe. Wahoo's wahoo. I'm a canoe. Spelled G-N-U. Call me bison or a copy and I'll sue. Gnor am I in the least, like that dreadful haughty beast. Oh, gno, 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 I'm a gno.
Gno, gno, gno,
I'm a gno.
Gno, gno, gno.
The sea, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a log in the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a log in the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a frog on the bump at the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a foot on the leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a foot on the leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole. There's a hole in the bottom of the sea. There's a toe on the foot on the leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a toe on the foot on the leg on the frog on the bump on the log at the hole at the bottom of the sea. There's a hole, there's a hole, there's a hole in the bottom of the sea.
buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you mind to. You can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. Can't take a shower in a parakeet cage. But you can be happy if you mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down. Do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't go swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. You can't go swimming in a baseball pool. But you can be happy if you mind to. Get on your back, but you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. You can't drive around with a tiger in your car. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. All you gotta do is put your mind to it. Knuckle down, buckle down. Do it, do it, do it. Well, you can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. You can't roller skate in the buffalo herd. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. You can't go fishing in a watermelon patch. But you can be happy if you've a mind to. You can't go
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow and then the days got worse and worse and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid, right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh. You laughed, you laughed, and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes. And they're coming to take me away, I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha! Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt! And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, to the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away.
Get off the set.
Never mind that. Never mind that now. Never mind that. Never mind.
Why, that's me. Look at me. I'm an old man.
I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot.
Thank God I still got my hair. October 26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course. Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars. This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. No wonder your president has to be an actor. He's gotta look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
The flux capacitor stores. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott!
gigawatts. Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Oh, Doc, stuck here. I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you enjoyed that bit of old tunes from way on back. I got somebody with a lot of static and a lot of toys over there on the other side going on. Anyway, I wanted to try to lighten up the mood because of the world that we live in today. You know, it's just so overwhelming when you get up and you listen to the news and you hear all the things that's going on out there, the terrorism and the supposed shootings and this and that and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking about, you know, when I was a kid, life seemed a little bit more simple than all this. Didn't have so much stress, so many things to worry about, you know, looking out there and seeing the world completely fall apart. So I hope that one of those little tunes there, or little skits that I played, kind of took you back to a time in your life, in your mind, that was a little more simple. You know, I wish that our kids of these days could be raised up in a life like the one we were raised up in. You know, we had our hardships back in the day, but it never seemed to be as intense as what it is today. You know, and to me, our kids are kind of getting cheated out of the lifestyle that our generation had the fortune to actually go through. Yeah, did we have bullies back in the day? Sure, we had bullies. We had all kinds of stuff. But most generally, you didn't hear a lot of really bad stuff going on in the world. Maybe it's because now we're connected to the world via the internet. We hear more things, and it just seems like everything's overwhelming. That's hard to say. But either way, now that's what the kids have to contend with. That's what the world has to contend with. It's just a overwhelming flood of information on a daily basis. There's always something bad going on in the world. I can't remember a time when they used to sit back and report good stories, good happy things that was happening out there, you know, neighbors doing good things for neighbors. Every once in a while you might catch a glimpse of a story on the news or something about something good that happened, somebody helped somebody out or whatever, you know. You know, back in the day, they used to have these things called barn raising. You know, somebody's barn would burn down, or maybe they needed a barn and, you know, the community would come together and they would put this barn up for the family. You know, they'd bring their hammers and nails, and some people would even supply the wood and the shingles and stuff like that.
It was a feast.
Yeah, the feast. And it was about a community working together to ensure that everyone had what they needed. They knew the farmers back in the day were going to be working hard, and they were going to be, you know, growing food or cattle or whatever to feed a lot of people. And so they kind of paid it forward ahead of time. And sometimes they paid it forward after, you know, whenever they knew that that person or that family had been doing a lot of good things for the community. And they came together in time of need, and they did just that. See, what I believe the Knights of the Round Table is all about is bringing these people together from all over the globe. You know, we all got things going on in our backyard that we're not necessarily proud about, or we want to try to fix and try to restore some sense of humanity to the world. We want to see a better life. We want to see a better life for not only ourselves, but our children and our children's children and so on into the future. And it's our generation that remember the times back, you know, to little funny tunes like that, you know, things that were on the air that weren't all filthy, and you didn't see the murder and mayhem to the extent that you do now glorified in the mainstream media and Hollywood and such. You know, there was a time if you said something filthy on the radio, they would shut you down, throw you in jail, and run off with your equipment. Nowadays, it's like everyone's desensitized to what's going on in the world, and, you know, where does it end? It doesn't, it's got to be some sort of line that has to be drawn in the sand that says, you know, hey, we've kind of taken this a little too far, let's take it a step back, you know, but we don't really necessarily see that in today's society, which kind of scares me for my children, because if it's this way now, how will it be whenever I'm long gone and they're raising their children? And so with that said, I played all those nifty little tunes there. Some of them I remember whenever I was a child, like old Snorky. That's a pretty funny little cartoon, you know. If you ever get a chance to go out and look at it, it's just so stupid, it's funny. But, you know, other songs on there, they bring me back to a time. Grandpa used to sit around and play his guitar and sing the Frog on a Log and a Hole in the Bottom of the Sea. And before it was all said and done, everything was on that Frog on a Log and a Hole in the Bottom of the Sea. So, you know, it was a good time. It's good memories, and I hope that one of those little tunes there kind of brought about some good memories from your past. And I think that we could all agree that this world needs a little bit of cooling down period. It needs a little less stress than what we have to contend with on a daily basis. We got guys out here searching for alternative energy solutions, and folks out here and gals that are doing all kinds of things for alternative medicine, alternative foods, better living lifestyles and such. You know, if we're ever to make this world a better place, it's going to come down to the average Joe. It's going to come down to you and your friends and your own personal community. Maybe you can't reach out and clean up the world, but you can clean up your own backyard. You can assist your brothers and neighbors around your neighborhood. You can go around and find out where the needs are and address those needs firsthand in your own little part of the world. And then if you do have the way to reach out, and even if it's only something as simple as using your voice like we do here on the Knights of the Round Table and all these radio shows out here on the network, on Awake Radio, No Borders, and Shaziz Radio, and so many more, TCT and 1800 Online, all these folks out here, they're wanting to try to do something beneficial for the world. And maybe all they have is their computer and their words and their hearts, you know. But I believe in the power of the spoken word. I believe that words are powerful enough to span the test of time. They're powerful enough to reach out there and touch hearts and minds and get people in the mindset of maybe making things better. So, you know, with that said, I'm going to see what the Knights of the Round Table guys over here think about it. Looks like Larry had to go off to work. Sorry about that, Larry. Took a little long on getting on in here, but who we got left in here, buddy?
Just Dr. Raymond Head from Boomtown Laboratories, and me, and you so far. Jason might come in a little later on in the show, and we might get Sir Ryan on here as well.
Cool. Well, what do you guys think about what I said there?
Oh, yeah, I've seen the way the media's changed things. It's quite a bit. There used to be censorship. Now, that you know, you don't even hear about censorship.
Yeah, well, some folks aren't necessarily into censorship, and I really ain't into censorship per se, but there is a responsibility. When you're talking out there, you never know who might be listening. It might be somebody's kid, you know. It might be your grandma or your mom, you know. What would you say over the air that you wouldn't say in front of your mom or your child? That's the question. And if you would say those kind of things in front of your child, then, you know, what kind of person does that make you? What do you think?
Only in rare places would you actually hear me cuss at all private chats or something once in a while. And I really don't even like to do that, so really I don't have much to hide. As far as what, I mean, my radio shows, shoot, I'd send them to my mom. In fact, I hope to get my mom on the radio sometime. I think my mom and your wife would have a great show.
The only two things I've ever heard Scott ever say, and I've been in a lot of private conversations, so the only thing I've ever heard him say that was somebody could possibly screw, turn around and derogatory would be by gosh and doggone.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That kind of, you know, that from his generation back in the day, you know, that's pretty much how, you know, people would, you know, voice their frustrations. It wasn't, you know, like it is today. I mean, you see little kids coming up and dropping the finger on you and cursing you out and stuff like that, and then you have to wonder, you know, what kind of home life does this child have if they're doing this kind of stuff here, you know? Or maybe it's a case of the parent was a really good parent, and then you know, the kid's just a rebel. You know, it's hard to say, but things in today's society are so much different than whenever I was growing up. There was a time my parents would have told all of my neighbors, if you see my boy doing something, you tan his behind and you send him home and call me and he'll get it again.
That's, you know? Right.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
I've had that a few times too.
You know, Shazaz, you did bring up a very viable point as far as the internet goes. Well, it's not only the internet is connecting us better, but there's more people today than there were 70, 80 years ago. For example, if you say one person out of 100 beats his wife, well, all of a sudden you've got 1,000 people, then you get 10 people beating their wives, and next thing you know, you've got 1 billion people, so there's 100,000 beating their wives. But then you've got the internet, and it's connecting people, so they hear about this stuff more often, and it makes it seem like the world is going, excuse my French, to hell in a breadbasket.
Well, and I understand that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, it could be a case that, you know, we're just hearing more of it than we used to. But for me to hear more of it than I used to, it makes me feel like the whole world has gone to heck, you know. And, you know, I'm not comfortable in that realm. And, you know,
the thing is, with the internet, I don't know the proper word to use, but exploitation. I mean, radios, TV, newspapers. They want to sell newspapers. They want to increase their ratings, so they have to report things that people really don't want to hear, but they will listen to. And you're right. We should be reporting more good things. I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's just
somehow you got to balance it out. You know, there's a term nowadays that you never heard back in the day because they probably would have been arrested. You know, they're called shock jocks, and they do whatever they can to just basically shock you, and people actually tune in to see it, you know, to see what kind of weird stuff is going to be going on that show. You know, there's a few shows out there I won't mention the name of, but they, you know, essentially that. You people doing the craziest things that they could possibly do, sometimes extremely disgusting or whatever. But, you know, like I said, and your words are powerful, and with that knowledge of knowing that your words are powerful, it comes with some responsibility. You never know who's listening. You never know how your words are actually going to affect somebody somewhere down the line. You know, something that you do to somebody or say to somebody that is hurtful, that, you know, it just kind of dominoes.
Well, and, you know, the thing is, Shaliz, I mean, for every person that does a bad deed, I honestly believe there's 100 that do good deeds.
Oh, I agree.
Have you ever been just driving down the road on Saturday with your family, and you're going shopping or taking the kids to the movies or the park or whatever, and you come up to a red light and there's four or five cars in front of you. There's an old lady out there standing there with a sign, you know, we work for food, need help, whatever. And how many times do you see people roll their windows down, let the hot air in, the cold air conditioning out, and reach out and hand this person $1 or $5 bill or even $10? I mean, this happens way, way more times than there are people that rob banks, stab other people, hit people in the head with a hammer. I mean, these things are shocking, like you said, but the good things happen way, way more often than the bad. We need somebody to start a radio program or a TV program or whatever to report the stuff, the good stuff. The really good stuff. What about the kids that go to school and, I mean, they're not into drugs, they're not smoking, they're not cursing, they're studying hard, making straight A's. These kids, these are the ones we should bring on the radio show and interview and tell about the story of their lives. I mean, they don't have an easy life. They work hard.
I agree.
They should be recognized for that.
I agree 100%. You know, it's just, I try to tell everybody, you know, whenever they listen to all this stuff, and I can see them physically shrinking back. You know, I said, you know, look, I know it seems bad, but the world isn't all bad. For the most part, there's probably more good people in this world than bad. You just hear about the bad because it's shocking, and that's exactly what you just got through saying.
It sells newspapers and it increases ratings.
Yeah, and it's a shame, though, because now you've got people like myself that are coming from a different generation that have, you know, I seen bad things when I was a kid, but I didn't see things to the extreme and to the quantity of what I see now being reported as news, you know. The whole world is in total chaos. It's doomsday. It's the apocalypse. And there comes a point in time when you got to step back and take a breath, or this stuff would get so overwhelming to you that you'd break down and cry, literally, you know. And I've been there. I've been there trying to think I'm on a mission to save the world. I'm trying to make this world a better place. And as I'm trying to build it up, somebody else on the opposite side of the world is trying to tear it down. And I know that if I feel that way, there's probably thousands and thousands of other people in this world that feel that way as well. And so my whole purpose of doing the nights the way that I did today was to try to put out there a little bit of breathing space so that people could understand that the world isn't as bad as it sounds. That, yeah, there are things that are important that need to be addressed, but you can't let that sit there and drag you down into the abyss, because if you sit there and go down that rabbit hole, it'll keep you there. You know?
One of my favorite quotes was by Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain. He said, years ago, before there was radio or television, which, just go through it this way, let's just do the quote. He who does not read the newspaper is uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
So even today, the newspaper, I mean, so the internet, the television, the radio shows, these people, they're out to increase ratings, sell papers, whatever. They're going to report the bad stuff because it sells papers. It draws people to their news station, be it radio or TV. I mean,
well, I think on the opposite side of the spectrum, I think that's what draws people to our networks, is because they want to hear something different, something real, you know, some real people talking about some real issues and some real hope, you know.
How about somebody start a website where people can report something similar to YouTube, where they can actually put on a video or pictures and show kids that are really good kids working hard?
Well, I would recommend that everyone do a video of an uplifting video and send it over to Awake TV and have them air that on there, because I'm sure that a lot of people would like to see a lot of good stories out there. Could be something simple, you know.
Hey, what about there's a guy out there that rides around in his car handing out pizzas to the homeless. It's pretty cool. Give him a whole pizza too. He just goes by and buys a bulk of them, you know, with a few donations, and the rest of his check he doesn't think he needs every week.
And let's take that.
He goes around and hands them pizzas out, takes videos, and puts it on YouTube.
Let's take that story. Buddy, let's take that story a little bit further and put ourselves in the mind and the shoes of that homeless guy right there. The fact that somebody came out of their way to do something such as that. Can you imagine the thoughts that's running through that individual's head? I know that if it was me and I was sitting there and I was hungry and somebody I didn't even know walked up and handed me a pizza, you know, I would just be, I'd be overwhelmed, I'd be blessed, but I would feel that this whole world isn't as bad as it seems. I would feel that there is a light at the end of the tunnel and that there is some sort of hope. And that's what I was saying about the power of your actions. You know, the power of your words are powerful.
One guy leaned over to the window and looked at him real, you know, kind of squinted his eyes and looked at him real close. He said, "Are you an angel?" That's great stuff, man.
There are so many ways to make this world a better place. There's many, just as many ways to make it a terrible place. But I'm wanting to hear more of these stories. We can post these stories up here on Shaziz Radio. I would be more than happy to set a page up for people to submit stories to. You know, because we need to hear good things. We need to hear things that make us smile and make us laugh. Laughter's good medicine, you know. When you laugh, it releases good chemistry in your body and makes you feel better. It has healing qualities to it. And so, you know, with that said, I hope I made somebody laugh this morning with one of these old songs, or, you know, made them remember something way back when they were younger and things were just a little bit more simpler. So, Muddy, now do you understand why all the crazy tunes this morning?
Yeah, I understand. I just wasn't ready for it. I'll say, "Oh, cool, I'm going to listen to the intro again." It was different. I said, "Uh-oh, he threw it away."
Yeah, she said, there was one song that you played there, the Flying Purple People Eater.
Yep.
And as it was playing, the same identical question came up. When I was a teenager, the song first came out back in the late 50s. I've never been able to figure it out. I can understand one-eyed, that's a cyclops. I can understand one horn, that's a unicorn. I can understand the wings, birds fly. But the purple people eater part, now I've never fully understood. Is it a purple flying critter that goes around eating people? Or a purple critter goes around eating purple people?
I have no idea, man. It's like a little monster guy, you know, running around eating people. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, you know, it wasn't foul mouthing. It wasn't some sort of a rap from, you know, you've heard some of the stuff these days. It was just a crazy song way back when.
The thing that gets me is that the unicorn actually existed. Did you know that?
Well, I wouldn't doubt it. Nothing in this world would surprise me.
It was not a horse. It was an antelope. Came from Africa. Back during the days of the Roman Empire and the gladiators, they were looking for different animals to attack people and for the amusement of the crowd. And they found that this one antelope, as it was growing, when it was young, the horns were real pliable. So they would actually train the two horns to come together and spiral as they grew. And they spent years developing this animal. Come to find out, it was too timid to attack a human being, so all that time was wasted. But the unicorn actually existed. It was an antelope. The back end of it was shaped like a horse, and that's where it came from.
Wow.
Yeah. They had to find an albino to get a white unicorn.
Exactly. Exactly, Scott. You know, there's a bit of trivia, useless knowledge, but, you know, it's history.
Yeah, but see, there's a lot of things in history that just up and get missed, and a lot of things in history that just up and get changed. And most folks just want to hear the truth, you know. Sometimes the truth is painful. But I'd rather have the truth any day, you know, take it like a man and move on instead of being lied to and manipulated. You know, everybody that has to live their life in fear of some sort of tragedy or terrorist that's supposedly hiding behind every single bush and underneath your bed or whatever. You know, the boogeyman, that's the main story in every single news outlet today, except for the alternative media.
I agree with you 100%.
I just think that there's so much more to life, and everybody out there who's missing out on life because they're sucked into the rabbit hole that is the one world government. Do we have to worry about that? Yeah, we do, because there are really people out there that want to, you know, control everything. The rich bankers of the world that somehow or another seem to be like made out of Teflon and nothing sticks, and things that we would go to jail for, they get by with, you know. But you gotta find the balance in your life, because a lot of folks, and I've been there myself, they'll waste a lot of time with their family, a lot of time, you know, enjoying life and being able to experience this experience that we call life in general, by going down the rabbit hole and worrying about everything that's out there. There is evil in this world. There is definitely pure evil in this world. And the only way that we're ever going to fix it is if we, the people, actually get up and do it. We, the people, find that fine balance between, you know, educating each other and scaring the living heck out of each other and depressing people into suicide or whatever. You know, it comes with a lot of responsibility. Knowledge is power, regardless of what anybody thinks, you know. And information, there's so much of it. You got to be able to sort through it, and you got to be able to do it in a manner at which you're using a skeptical eye and, you know, weighing out the facts. And I listen to both sides of the story of the political scene, and I want to see what they're both saying, because, you know, the two people can tell you a bold-faced lie, but in their lie they're going to have to say something plausible in order to make their lie sound plausible. And so if you listen to what everybody's saying and you step back and you weigh out the facts and get the big picture, you can ascertain for your own self, you know, what the truth really is. And so people need to just try before, Mom used to say a phrase, something like, take it with a grain of salt, you know, where consider the source or whatever, you know what I mean?
Exactly, those are good words. Take with a grain of salt and consider the source.
You know, and
you know that's a pet subject with me, and that is suicide. Actually, to me, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world, because I've been there. Three times in my life, things got so bad, I wanted to end my life, but I didn't. And guess what? All three times, things got better.
Well, thank God, brother, because you have been a blessing in all of our lives, and we're glad that you're here. And if you would have done that back in the day, you know, we wouldn't have the pleasure of your company.
Well, those people out there that are listening, if things, I mean, you know, times do get bad in your life, and you feel like it's not worth living, all three times with me, there was one thing that stopped me, the only thing that stopped me, and that is the fact that 75% of the people that do commit suicide, their children will attempt it. And 75% of those that attempt will succeed. So if you think the things in your life are so bad that you want to end your life, think of your children.
Yeah, because you're not just destroying your own life. You do a lot of damage on the way out, you know?
It always gets better. You think, well, it's darkest before the dawn. Well, that's the truth. And you think, well, it can't get much worse than it is right now. Well, yes, it can. But you live through this, and you're going through that. And just, what you have to do is just hang in there and persevere. It will get better.
And one thing to point out to anybody out there who's having a rough go of it, you know, the Knights of the Round Table is more than just a bunch of guys who get together and talk. More than just a bunch of gals who get on networks and have radio shows. You can contact any of us at any time. If you need somebody to lend you an ear and some advice or just be a friend, you know, contact me, Shaziz, on Skype, you know. At least give me the opportunity to try to make your life better so that you take that choice off the table. Because to me, anytime we lose any individual out here, we've lost a lot, you know. Society loses.
You're right, because I've known several people that attempted or even succeeded in suicide. And the thing is, it's devastating because they had so much that they to give and to contribute to this world, and now they're gone.
Yep.
But the situations in their life made them think that they weren't worth it. But they were. The thing is, if you get down and depressed and you start thinking stupid thoughts like this, and truly they are stupid, I don't want to insult anybody, but when you think like that, you're stupid, because I was stupid 3 times in my life, and now I'm 70 years old. I'm way beyond that period. Trust me, my life is so much better now. And there's times when it gets bad and it gets down, and I wonder, well, what was me? What am I going to do? And I say, well, I've been here before. It got better. This is going to get better. It may get a little bit worse, but hey, I'm surviving now. Well, I'll make it.
Raymond, you just go out and you grab a hold of Muddy, or you call me up if you ever get in that kind of jam, and hey, by the time we get done talking, you'll forget all about what you was bummed out about, you know, and that's one of the benefits of having friends such as y'all that, you know.
There was a situation that hit me in years, because this was when I was young and going through a change of life and blah, 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 and a lot of people think, well, okay, I'm 45 years old and this is not happening, or wow, I don't like this. I mean, everybody's against me, and blah, 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 blah. Ladies and gentlemen, men go through menopause, change of life, just like women. I mean, some men, it affects worse than others. Some, it doesn't. I mean, just wake up. If you're having a really rough time mentally, stress-wise, in your life, and you're in this time period of your life, think about it. Concentrate on it. That's what you need to do. Don't concentrate on the bad things that are happening, because they're really and truly, they're not as bad as you think. It's just your mental attitude is changing.
One thing to point out to everybody is Raymond's 70 years old. There's a whole lot of wisdom in 70. I'm only 48, getting ready to turn 49, but I'm telling you, I've been down a few roads, and you might be able to steer yourself away from a bad spot if you listen to something some of these old guys are talking about.
Yep.
So, you know, it's there is hope out there. There definitely is hope. And there's a reason to smile. And you share that smile with somebody else, they'll share it on down the line. And it's like I said, the power of your spoken word, the power of your actions, you know, if you just use a little bit of common sense in life and you step back and you look at the big picture and you weigh out what's really important, while you're standing in that abyss, it seems like the whole weight of the entire world is on your shoulders and things are just so terrible, you know, but if you were standing on the hill looking at yourself, standing in that abyss, you would say, hey, you know, looking down on it, it's really not as bad as I thought it was, you know. There's a light over there, and all I got to do is go that way.
You said a mouthful, you said a mouthful. You got to step back and take a look at everything.
Yep. And, you know, shows like this, Knights of the Round Table, we talk about all kinds of things. We talk about everything under the sun. This is a platform for everyone. If you're out there and you like what we're doing and you wanna join in, it's as simple as a Skype call to become one of the Knights of the Round Table. You know, we just we do everything in a respectful manner, and Heck, tell your friends about it. You know, all your social networks out there. Tell your friends there's a group of individuals out here called the Knights of the Round Table. Tell them what it is that we do. Invite them to come on over. You know? And if you don't really necessarily like our radio show, start your own. It's all about getting out there, networking with individuals, and doing something, being proactive. Maybe you don't have the finances to do something elaborate, but maybe you get enough to start your own little radio network, and you want more listeners, we'll rebroadcast you. We'll help you get out there, you know? And that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, I got a guy who might want to become a Shaziz radio host. I'm trying to get him in here. I've added him to the call, and he hits join call, and no way he gets in. I think because Raymond started the call. Raymond, if you go down to your little plus sign and add Jason, or look at your contact request, and go ahead and accept his contact request.
What up to that, Scott?
Shaziz, you got Windows. You're more familiar with what he's got.
There's a plus sign down there. You hit that plus sign, and it'll give you the option to add people.
Okay. Send files, send contacts, share screens, add people to this call?
Yeah, that's the one.
Add people to this call.
Okay.
And it might be under Temporal Chameleon or Jason. And we're trying to add Dublin, too. So while you're at it,
just came in and then left.
Here's an idea, Muddy. Did you get him in?
All right, I got it. Click, selected, add to call. There he is.
There's Jason.
Yay!
Yeah, do the same thing for Dublin. Dublin.
All right. So you see how we got that all sorted out live on air? That makes for good radio.
Now you're the new host.
I'm 70 years old and I'm still learning.
Hello, Jason.
I'm here. How's it going?
Pretty good. Yourself? Have you been listening in?
I have for the past 20 minutes, I think.
So what do you think? What's on your mind?
Well, I really, really like the positive vibe you guys are putting off here. You know, looking for the good news instead of focusing on the bad. And that's especially something I need to surround myself with every day. And I look for that, man. Like, when my friends are posting stories on Facebook, I always upvote and share the more positive ones and tend to, you know, ignore the ones that are more negative and hide those. And
yeah, like people having fights and stuff. It ain't no fun.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily into that. So.
It's kind of like, you know, what we were talking about, the power of your spoken word, the power of your actions, you know. You got to think about, before you click, I like this, You're essentially telling everybody once you click that you agree with whatever, you know, that is on there. And so how's that going to affect the next guy down the line? If it uplifts their spirit and puts a smile on their face and they send that smile on down the line, you know, in the kind of the pay it forward manner there, to me, that is what makes the world better. That's what makes the world go around. And, you know, all the negativity does is drain people down even further. Negativity begets negativity, sure. And positivity begets positivity. There's no way to deny it.
Like,
for sure. Yeah, and I like what you guys are saying about, you know, how there's more good in the world than there is bad. And I really do believe that. And in fact, I think my mindset, having that idea in my head all the time, just makes it so that that positivity does come to me, you know, and that it always surrounds me. And it does. If I, you know, don't get myself down too much. I used to be severely depressed, almost on the verge of being suicidal too, just like, who's the other guy who was just talking?
That was Raymond?
Yeah, I really feel for you, man, because I know exactly what that's like. I've been there so many times, and really, it's just, it's a struggle to change that mindset.
I said that because it exists, okay? It's bad, and I'm not reporting bad stuff. But people need to understand that it's bad, but you can get through it. And the thing is, I'm 70 years old. I have not had one of these situations in over 25 years, man. I mean, you know, so I am way, way past it. I am at the stage where if anyone has a problem, and they're considering ruining their lives, whether they commit suicide or just back out and go live in the woods someplace. What if you're having a bad situation? Come talk to me. Talk to Shazuz. Talk to Scott. But like Shazuz said, talk it out. I mean, nothing is as bad as it seems, and everything, I don't care what it is, everything gets better. It can get worse, but if you hang in there long enough, it will get better. The thing is, you just have to persevere. And if you surround yourself with friends with positive attitudes, then you don't hear so dang much negativity stuff. Well, and I don't care how deep in debt you get, what are they going to do? Chop you up and eat you?
There's a song out there called Lean On Me, and I know it sounds kind of mushy, but that song, it says it all, man.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's what we do here on the Knights of the Round Table. I can't even begin to tell you how many times one of the knights that propped me up when I was feeling down, you know, pointed out to me that the world wasn't as bad as it seemed and kept me grounded. You know, without that, you know, hard saying where I'd be. I don't believe I would have committed suicide because it's against my own personal spiritual beliefs to do so. But either way, it's a terrible place to be when you got that sinking feeling in your gut that the whole world is just rotten and there ain't nothing you can do about it. You know?
Exactly. Sure. You know, something I always try to tell people, like if they ever say that they're considering suicide or, you know, really on the verge, I'm like, come on, man, just. If you really are feeling bad down, go do something that you've always wanted to do.
Exactly.
Right now. Like, just go get a credit card, you know, go take out some money, go someplace you've always wanted to see, do something you've always wanted to do, because what have you got to lose? You know, you're going to die anyway. So,
yeah.
So, by the time you're done doing that, you won't want to kill yourself, you know?
That's a good point. You know, hey, yeah. You know, at least try this out before you go jumping off the bridge, you know? You know, I say this all the time, and I hope that it sinks in deep enough where people can, you know, embed it into their soul that if every time we lose anybody, it don't matter who it is, from what nation, every time we lose anybody, we lose a big piece of humanity. Maybe the next great cure for the worst disease, or maybe the next great inventor, or maybe just something as simple as the next great friend. You know, what a waste. Sure. There's not one worthless individual out there in this world, and we all need to recognize that. We need to make sure those individuals that are feeling down recognize that, because they're just as important as everybody else in my book.
Well, you know, Jason, you said something a minute ago about somebody getting down on and so forth, and getting the idea of get a credit card, who spends money, do what you want. Well, look, I had a similar situation here about 7 or 8 years ago. I was sitting downtown, and waiting for a job the owner of a building, the job to come up so that we could look at it and I could get the job. Long story short, a little lady came up to my truck and said, sir, said, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Could I wash your windows at $4 so I can give me something to eat? And I told her, I said, well, why not, you know? And I said, little old lady, but actually, you could tell she'd been on the streets for a long time. Her clothes were kind of dirty and ragged. And she wasn't a bad-looking woman for her age. She looked like she was about 65, but you could tell she was barely over 50. Just a hard life.
Yeah.
She came up with us. The bottle of water she had was dirty. The big towel she had was dirty. But she did get a little bit of mess off the windows. She came around. She said, sir, it says, and this is cold. I mean, it's wintertime. This woman didn't even have a coat. And she said, is that good enough? I said, yes, it is. I said, I had a dollar in my hand. And she, I mean, you could look at her eyes. I mean, they were sparkling seeing that dollar. I said, could you do me a favor? And she said, anything, what? And I put the dollar back in my pocket, and her face just sunk. I pulled out a $100 bill. I said, can you take this $100 bill, go get you a motel room, get a good night's sleep, get cleaned up, and go to a thrift store tomorrow and get you some nice clothes and go look for a job. You're not going to find a job the way you're dressed right now. And I realize you don't have the money to get cleaned up, but now you do. And have a good life on me.
That's cool, man.
You never saw an old person move so fast in all your life. The woman jumped through my window. kissed me all over the cheek and forehead. I said, God bless you. I said, no, God bless you. Go take care of your life. Get yourself straightened out.
Yeah, you blessed already, man. Hey, Shaziz, you got something you can play for a minute? I'm going to restructure the call so I can get Dublin in here.
Yeah, I think I'll throw that tune that I was just talking about on there because it's, this is what we're telling you. If you got a problem out there, you come to the Knights of the Round Table and talk to us, you know. Before you decide to do something stupid or, you know, think the whole world is all bad, you might just find a friend over here. Heck, you might even just stay around or even become a radio host like I think Jason might, because I heard a little bird tell me something about that. If Jason's interested, he's more than welcome. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and play this tune for everybody. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I really love that last song there, Dreamer by Ozzy. To me, it defines the way that I feel about the world when I look out there and I see what's going on, and I'm kind of like, I'm running around hollering at everybody, can't we all just get along for Pete's sake or whatever, you know, peace and love to the world kind of thing. And I think that for the most part, most of the people out there in this world are of the same mindset. Nobody wants wars. You know, we'd rather send our children over to have a barbecue with your children as opposed to our children killing your children and vice versa. You know, we allow all these politicians out there in the world to supposedly represent us, and it doesn't necessarily seem that they are representing us. Then they take us down roads that we don't want to go. You know, when you throw a bomb over into a community and you take out what they deem to be collateral damage, to me, that's a big atrocity. You know, you just took away somebody who had no want to be in any war. They weren't a combatant. They were just an innocent individual who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And in their minds, they may think that the ends justifies the means, but in my mind, the ends never justify the means if it entails murdering some innocent individual somewhere around the planet. That may have been their mama you took away, or their dad, you know, and you just made a future terrorist of the world. You just made a future combatant. One of the things that broke my heart was I heard a couple little Palestinian girls. A man was asking these two little Palestinian girls, do you ever want peace with Israel? And, of course, they said, no, we don't never want peace with Israel. We hate Israel. They killed our mom and dad. Well, if you think about that, at some point in their life, those chains could have been broken before it ever even got to that. Now you have a circular hate, so to speak. It's just a never-ending cycle. You know, I kill your parents, you kill mine, and then so on down the line. It's kind of like that story about the Hatfields and McCoys. You know, they got to fighting, and they were fighting so incredibly long that eventually the youth were saying, you know, I can't even remember what started this feud. Does anybody know why it is that Hatfields hate the McCoys? You know, and that's the way it is over there in the Middle East and all over the world where people are battling, you know, one a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. You know, I'll bomb your town, you bomb my town, vice versa, you know. And it just never ends. Until this world finds some sort of platform up there on the line there of true enlightenment to where they understand that for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and these things that you do to your brothers and sisters around the world are going to come right back to you. It's a never-ending cycle of hate and discontent and wars and rumors of wars and all that kind of stuff there. If we want to make this world a better place, it's going to have to start right at each and every one of us. It's going to have to start when you get up off the couch and go serve your community, like I believe in my faith that you're supposed to be a servant, caretakers of the land and all that's out there, you know, a humble servant. And when you find yourself in a position to where you're serving somebody, you'll find that those folks will turn around and serve you right back. That's the way it works. You know, this whole world doesn't have to be what it is. And when I talk about how that song defines me, it's how I feel. You know, I'm a dreamer. I've always been that way. And I feel in my heart that this world could be so much better than what it is if people would just use some common sense. You know, if you go start that fight with somebody, you're not just starting that fight with somebody. You're starting that fight with everybody. You know, next thing you know, his brother jumps in, or your cousin jumps in. Next thing you know, you got a Hatfield and McCoys going on. So in order to make this world a better place, take that big step back and look at the big picture and make that decision. Is it really worth it to do what you're about to do? What do you guys think?
I think you just said a big mouthful. The Hatfield and McCoy was actually started by two people, one Hatfield, one McCoy. Started on the Civil War. One fought for the North, one fought for the South. I don't know which one, but one of them actually deserted and went back home. The other one stayed to the end of the war. He went back home, and because of that, they had a big argument. And then one of them stuck a pig for the other one. and that started the actual feud.
Well, I thought it was one of them wanted to marry outside the family. He wanted to marry a Hatfield instead of a McCoy.
That's what escalated the feud. The feud actually started because of the differences of the two men, and one of them actually fought to the end of the war. The other one, but they fought on opposite sides. And up until then, they were childhood best friends, buddies. I mean, they went to school together. They went fishing and hunting together. They were the best of friends. But because one deserted, and the other one stayed to the end of the war, and they got back home, and there was hard feelings between them. And then one of them shot one of the pig, and the other one overstole the pig, and it just kept going and going, and escalating and escalating. And then two young teenage kids, like you said, fell in love, and that really escalated because the whole family of Hatfield wasn't going to have their nephew, son, cousin, whatever, marry a Hatfield. And he just went on from there and there, and it went on for many, many years. All in all, there weren't that as many people killed as some would think. I think it was somewhere between 12 and 15 over the period of like 25 years that actually got killed.
But at the end of the day, what in that entire story was worth even one single individual's life, you know?
Exactly. Not a daggone thing. Nothing. Nothing. In fact, talk about the Civil War, if you want to, 80% of the Confederate soldiers didn't even own slaves, yet they fought for the Confederacy. And everybody thinks the Civil War was fought over slavery, and it was not. It wasn't even an issue. It was taxation without representation. That was the actual cause of the Civil War. The North had more Congress men passing taxes on Southern goods going to the North, and the Southerners couldn't combat it. They didn't have enough voice in Congress. So the South was just getting tired of being taxed and taxed and taxed on tobacco and cotton and this and that and another, and getting nothing back in return. So they decided to secede, and the actual ultimate goal or a cause of the Civil War is the North said the South cannot secede, and the South said, well, we're going to, and the North said, you can't, because once you're part of the Union, you can never get back out. You're always a part of the Union. Well, I got kicked out of high school 3 times because I refused to agree with my history teachers that told me that the South lost the war. The South won. We lost the battle, but we won the war. The war was fought over the right of a state to secede from the Union. Now, at the end of the war, the North said, in order to get back into the Union, you must do this, this, and this. And the South did it, and they became part of the Union again. Now, how can you get back into something that you've never been out of?
Yep. Well, at the end of the day, though, regardless of what it all started, you know, nobody ever really wins wars because, you know, the people, look at all the devastation that comes about.
Exactly.
You know, and we got an opportunity here right now, you know. We got an opportunity to reach out and touch the world and steer this boat off in a different direction. Even if we're only dragging a foot on one side to get it to turn left or right, at least we're dragging that foot right now. We're making that honest effort towards doing something positive to the world. You know, our alternative energy, to me, you know, we should have been so much further advanced than what we are right now, but yet we're not, you know, and that's because of people out there wanting to have control over, you know, who gets the money for the electric company or whatever. It's just, it's crazy that our entire world, the masses of the people out there, would allow a minority of individuals to suppress technology and advancements in society that could be beneficial. You know, we talked about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife and his frequency generators that there are folks that actually use these today that are, you know, treating people's cancer with it. You know, it was all about, you know, taking a specific frequency and destroying a bad cell while leaving the good cell intact. Now, if you go on the opposite side of the spectrum and you look at what the mainstream doctors are doing, heck, it's worse than the disease itself, because it destroys your immune system and the bad cell at the same time. So how are you going to make somebody healthy by destroying their immune system? You know, causes their hair to fall out and everything else. Chemotherapy. If I ever develop cancer, I'm going to go for every alternative medicine that I can find, and I'm not even remotely going to consider chemotherapy. You know, it's a death sentence waiting to happen, and it's sad that society would reject what could potentially be a cure, even if it's not. You know, it's like hemp seed oil. When people talk about the benefits of hemp seed oil, I got a cousin who's a diabetic, and I'm saying, you know, at this stage in the game, you've already got diabetes. They say this stuff will help to cure diabetes. What do you got to lose by at least trying it, you know? You don't. You don't have anything to lose. I mean, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You just move on to the next one and find something that does work. But in the meantime, they've got you injecting all these different things to raise or lower your blood sugar, depending on which side of the spectrum you fall on. But
if you have diabetes, and alternative medicine, you know that it's been proven many, many times that pancakes made from the hulls of mesquite beans, not only will it regulate your blood sugar, but it regulates your blood pressure. Eat two pancakes made out of mesquite bean hulls every day, and you'll never have a blood pressure problem, and you'll never have diabetes.
Well, see, and we talked about as well as somebody figuring out the perfect diet, and then, of course, somebody also mentioned that, you know, since everybody's chemistry is different, it'd have to be on an individual basis that you figure out their diet. But to at least get it in the close range, these are good things to eat that have these benefits or whatever, or just listing a whole lot of foods out there that have benefits. I'd like to see a page like that started on ShazizRadio.com that you could go and look and see per disease what alternative foods there are out there. What do you think?
Well, I think too, there's mesquite beans. I would really like to talk about them, because in Texas and Midwest United States, our mesquite trees have really small beans. They have large pods, and if you pick the pod, dry it, crush it, and separate the beans out, then you take the pods, grind it down to a flour, mix it with regular wheat flour, and make pancakes out of them. It controls your blood pressure and your blood sugar. Then the beans themselves are by weight 40% vegetable oil, which anybody knows that vegetable oil will run better in a diesel motor than a diesel fuel. So, I mean, what's wrong with this? I mean, in New Mexico, they have their mesquite beans. They have a different strain of mesquite. The mesquite beans themselves are as large as pinto beans, and they are delicious.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, you go to these mesquite trees and you get these beans out there.
Yeah. And the best, the whole pot.
You're just supposed to eat the hulls, right?
Well, yeah, you eat the hulls, and then you press the oil out of the bean.
Well, see,
you get from the oil.
Not only did I hear you talk about how this particular bean was good beneficially health-wise, but you also mentioned that it was good for biofuel. And so here, you got a community out there in this world that's continuously complaining about the whole bogus global warming scam / carbon emissions, and yet here's all these different alternatives out there. Hydrogen, you know, when you burn water, all you get out the other end is water. And yet, if we talk about this, we're nutcases. We're mad science, pseudoscience kind of guys. We're idiots for saying that, hey, there's an alternative out here. Why ain't we doing this? You see what I'm saying? You can't sell no drugs if isn't nobody sick, and you can't sell no guns and ammunition if ain't nobody feuding, and you can't sell, whatever. But,
you know, thing is that there are many things about it that people don't even realize it. In fact, ranchers try to bulldoze them and pull them up, burn them, and literally to get rid of them. But with heat beams, if the trees are really strange. It's one of the very, very few trees that has a spider root system and a tap root system. And there are dozens in the desert. The spider root system spreads out throughout the desert just inches under the ground. So the very few times it does rain, they can get to the water. It has a tap root that will grow down way over 100 feet deep. They found, miners found a tap root from a mesquite tree 86 feet underground that was 6 inches in diameter. How much deeper did it go?
Because the tree is only like 6 or 8 feet tall.
Exactly. But here's the thing. The bean itself, when it starts growing, is green. Then all of a sudden it starts to turn light green, and it goes to a yellow stage, and then it gets pink, and then it gets really red. Well, at that red stage, if you take it off and chew on it, it's soft. Not the bean. The bean is hard, but the pulp is really hard. I mean, really soft, and it's super, super sweet. It contains a lot of sugar. So if you pick them when they're red, then dry them, the sugar turns to a starch, and when it's really dry, then you break it up with a blender, run it through a sifter, you sift the hull out, that way you get all the beans left, and you can eat them when they're red. I mean, you don't actually eat them, you chew them and spit the hull out, but you swallow the juice, and it they call it Mexican candy. I ought to know, my wife's not
involved too. That's just, that's incredible. It's incredible information, and that there's so much of that out there, man. Go around and visit all the different communities, the Indian communities. They could tell you a lot about nature. I mean, they spent generations and generations passing information down, you know, alternative medicines and such. You know, it's a shame that knowledge from all these older generations has gone by the wayside, and here we are today. We're pumping chemistry into us, you know, synthetic chemicals, and they're wondering why people are sick. They're not treating the disease, they're just treating the symptoms. And, you know, you can mask a headache all you want, but the headache is still there. You know, there's a reason why you got that headache.
The thing is, a lot of people, we're talking about alternative energy. Okay, so up north, they don't have that many mesquite trees, especially in the northeast. But you look at all the oak trees you got. I mean, what are there? 300 different types of oak trees? You got thin oaks, you got strong oaks, you got flatwood oaks, I mean, all kinds of oaks. There's one that I had like 5 trees in my yard when I lived in North Carolina. They call it a chestnut oak. You have acorns that are as large as a chestnut. Wow. Acorns also are 40 to 45% by weight vegetable oil. Like I said, everybody knows. That knows anything about motors, a diesel engine will run better on vegetable oil than it will diesel fuel. It is not aggressive where diesel fuel is. One diesel fuel and a diesel engine, every 100,000 miles or so, you need to rebuild the injectors or replace them with rebuild injectors. When you run the pure vegetable oil, you can run 400,000 to 500,000 miles without even touching your injectors.
Wow.
And the power, the actual BTUs of energy power in vegetable oil is 10% higher than that of diesel fuel. So you will get better gas mileage, more power out of your motor, and run smoother with less maintenance by using vegetable oil. It's so-called biodiesel. That's bull hockey. That's a way to get money out of it. Just pure, unadulterated vegetable oil works great. You don't have to treat it with a daggone thing. Just pour it in the fuel tank, make sure all the diesel fuel's out because it won't contaminate it. Pure vegetable oil and fire it up. The problem is in cold weather, vegetable oil is thick where diesel fuel doesn't. Put a preheater in.
Yep.
You spend all that money and everything making biodiesel. Just put a preheater in your fuel tank. That's it. And the exhaust will act like a preheater. So you have a very, very small tank, large set of batteries. When you fire the engine up in cold weather, you heat up the small tank just long enough to run the motor until the exhaust heats up the fuel or the vegetable oil in your main tank. big deal. It's too simple. That's why people don't like to do it. They don't like to accept the fact some things are just so simple.
Well, what happens if ever comes a day when the gas pumps shut down? What are you going to use for fuel? Well, nature's provided all the fuel you could use for a lifetime, a generation or more, into infinity and beyond.
And that brings me back to that three-wheeled bike I was talking about, and putting that tape drive motor and a solar panel or two up on top.
Yep.
Oh, man, there's so much you could do with electric vehicles, you know, on a small scale. Bicycles. I spent 2 years riding one, and it's just a small lithium-ion battery, 20 amp hour, hooked up to a direct drive motor. I mean, the thing will last for years. It's the most durable motor you can possibly find. Just one moving part, and I was able to go 42 miles a day and barely break a sweat using this system. And there's so many different applications for it that you could, you know, take this system and just, I mean, China's already kind of taken off with it and revolutionized things over there. They have more e-bikes up there than anyone else. Now all we need is just a more reliable power source, because I think the battery situation is a bit of a holdback on that. But as soon as you've got a more sustainable energy source, a better battery, man, it's like that kind of thing would be unstoppable, man.
Well, I'm thinking that people have just totally bypassed the obvious. You know, when you got a battery and you're continuously draining off of that battery, you know, it's the up and down, the charge going up and down that it eventually wears that battery out. If you take and add a capacitor bank to that thing in parallel to where you're charging this capacitor bank up and smoothing out that up and down on that battery, your battery is going to last a whole lot longer. And those capacitors nowadays have the potential to charge and discharge rapidly. And so you can
is that like a battery management system?
Yeah, exactly. So essentially what you're doing is you could be draining off the capacitor bank. So you're charging up, your discharge and discharge is coming right directly off of the capacitor. So what would wear out would be the capacitors themselves after a while, but the battery is just maintaining the capacitors. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like a buffer between.
Yeah.
Here's another thing too, Jason, and Shaziz. If you're using lead acid or gel cell batteries, you put a desulfator on. If they're brand new batteries, you will not live long enough to wear the battery out.
Yeah, I was using a lithium system because, you know, it's so much lighter and you can pack so many amp hours into it. It's a bit of a risk using that because they have a tendency to catch fire if you don't know what you're doing with them. But
if you use that same battery, the lithium battery with the capacitor bank, I don't feel like it's going to get hot like it normally would, because you're not continuously drawing directly off the battery. You're using the battery to feed the capacitor bank, which is kind of acting as a buffer in between the drive and the battery itself. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, little solutions like this, you know, finding alternative energies and just finding, you know, sources of medicine that people normally wouldn't think of, like mesquite beans, man, I never thought of that using the hulls, never even heard of it. And I think the reason a lot of people kind of tend to reject this sort of thing is mainly out of fear of taking off the authorities that they've kind of been beholden to their whole lives. Because, you know, they go through school and everything, hearing all these messages about what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do. Oh, don't pay attention to these guys over here, they're crazy. And it takes a little bravery to step out there and actually, you know, discover these things.
Yep.
People have been conditioned from a very young age to anything that sounds a little funny, you know, just that term right there, that makes people immediately think it's BS, you know? And especially if it seems easier than what they're doing now. If it seems easier, then they think, oh, of course it's not real. There's no way that'll work. Because if it did, we'd be doing it already.
Yep.
So this is the thing we've done for...
Yeah.
it's when things get hard that people find out that some other things that you thought was hard are actually easy. You know, like Boomer was talking about acorns. Now, acorns make some awesome pancakes. You got the way
you guys need
you
those acorns.
The brown ones. You got to get the brown ones and make sure they ain't got a wormhole. You grind them up and make your flour. They make good bread and good pancakes, and they're very nutritious.
Stephen in the
acorns.
Stephen in the chat room was talking about the first Model T Ford running on hemp oil and got 145 miles to the gallon. So if that be the case, then this isn't new technology we're talking about. It's just overlooked and suppressed technology as far as I'm concerned.
The guy running behind us got a big smile.
It's suppressed because the people with money that could develop it couldn't see a profit in it. I mean, it was growth-free. Keep being growth-free. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, and what happens is they stick it in their back pocket until the time's right. And if it's worth a profit, they'll pull it out of their pocket because they've got them already. They bought off every patent they could think of. Yeah.
Well, I look at it like this. If these guys got gallons or thousands of millions of gallons of oil, you know, back there, they're not going to want to put information like that out there because their product would drop in price. I mean, who's going to buy oil whenever you could get hemp oil or whatever? You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, it affects the commodities. That's all there. That's why wars are fought.
There's stuff. Arizona right now that the people get together and spread over about three counties, and once a year, the people that are members of this club collect all of their mesquite beans from their trees on their land and take them to these two brothers' house, which they bought a special grinding machine that will take the beans and separate the hulls from the beans, grind it in the hulls into a flour. And then they've got a dryer that dehydrates them, and so that it stores well. And they give back the people their hulls and their beans, and they keep a small percentage to the use of their machine. And it's a big club. It's a big deal. They get together for three or four days once a year and have a big party out of it. And they're healthy people, and not one of them has a blood problem, high blood pressure, diabetes, or nothing. And there's hundreds of these people, and none of them are sick. Think about that. It's just a club.
Well, we need more clubs like that.
Yes, we do.
So, who else has got something to bring to the table there? Don't everybody jump to the mic at once. I don't want anybody to chip a tooth.
Well, I was thinking you guys were talking about, you know, these motorized vehicles that run off electric motors. Yeah, always having a constant draw. What if it just hit it once every, you know, twice a second, or, you know, twice every 4 seconds, once a second, give or take? Because that's kind of what I've been doing this week with this little pulse motor, which I wouldn't call a little close pulse motor, because it can spin, I don't know, I probably put me on it, but I got it up over 70 pounds sitting on top of it. Maybe keep, I was talking to Mud last night, maybe thinking about Raymond and all his big giant containers he wants to fill with concrete and stuff. I'm wondering if it would spin one with concrete on top. And think about the torque on that. So
if you do that, just make a merry-go-round.
Yeah, but, you know, I look at the belts. I look at the fact that, you know, it's only using a 9-volt battery pulsing, and it can move, you know, 100 pounds.
Yeah, I think you had close to 100 pounds on it in that video.
I mean, I would think it would. So, you know, I mean, it, I mean, that's the endless possibilities. I mean, right when you were talking about your pendulum swinging from side to side, this is basically the same kind of setup. It's just a, you know, circle that just kind of kicks it around from two points. You know, it's finding that sweet spot in that X13. That's another thing. You need to get these X13s out to the people. So.
That thing was kicking about 78 RPM, I think. Looked like an old 78 RPM turntable the way it was.
Last night, yeah, without the, and you know, it's so strong, you can't hold it with your hand. So imagine that, now, 9-volt battery can turn this, can kick this motor over, you know, shoot, an eighth of a turn, and there's no way. Put some vice grips on there and try to hold it, probably break your wrist. So. That's the thing about it, and these are being thrown away. Terry talks about this all the time. Thousands and thousands, probably, daily during the week.
Well, so,
yeah, sad part is that motor, all with the magnet and all the wire and all the steel and production, everything like that, that's the expensive part. And what they throw them out is where that little circuit, maybe the little triac burns out or the transistor. That's it.
Yeah.
If I had a skeptical mind, I would think they throw them out deliberately to get rid of all of them before somebody finds out what you did.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways I believe that. The way they're designed too, with the module on the back, you know, it's designed to fail like everything else. But yeah, it's amazing. I mean, these things, you know, yesterday, you know, my prototype wind turbine with blades from a ceiling fan. I mean, this thing is just thrown together, $5 into it, you know. It was out yesterday producing, you know.
Every so often, they put something out on the market that is built so well that it lasts for nearly ever. Now, there's something that I don't know if most of you are aware of. If you go out there to replace that window motor in your electric windows, those things are pretty doggone expensive. Anybody disagree with that?
Yeah.
Well, what if I told you that you can fix that thing yourself at home in under 10 or 15 minutes max, and there's nothing that can go wrong with those motors? This is what happens. On those electric motors, there's some brushes on there that go on the armature, and they have grease inside there. After so many times of up and down, it shaves off some of that carbon and mixes with that grease and gets to the point where the grease becomes thick enough to actually move the brushes away from making a connection. You don't even have to sand it. All you got to do, there's two tabs that bend inward. All you got to do is fold those two tabs out, slide it inside that motor, take some degreaser, clean it up, put new fresh grease back in it, fold it back over, plug it in, and it'll work just as good as it did brand new.
I'm glad you brought that up. My big air compressor in my shop, the motor quit on me. It's a 10-horsepower, 220-volt motor. And that thing's expensive. And I thought I was going to buy a new motor. I'm going to take it apart today and do just that, she says.
Yeah, check out your brushes. Or you can get a new set of brushes.
Well, those are simple things. I mean, if I would have known that way back when, I could have saved myself a few $100 because if you go out and price some of these window motors for these cars, they're crazy. But these things are made so good. The armatures in those window motors are made so good that you'd have to seriously put some massive high voltage to them to ruin it. You know, that's how well they're made. And the only thing that could potentially go wrong with them, the bearings ain't going to go bad because there's not enough RPMs to create enough friction to wear these bearings out. It's impossible to wear these bearings out. The only thing that goes wrong with them is, like I said, going up and down, it gets that crud up underneath there, mixes with the grease, and then your brushes won't make connection with the armature. That's it. And you just saved yourself over $100 at the very least.
What would you do if it was an induction motor that didn't have brushes?
Right. Brushless motors. They're great.
Well, I don't know.
The only thing it wears out on those is the controllers, and that's usually
$0.15, 20 cents.
Either diodes or transistors. That's about it. The rest of it usually does okay. If it's a capacitor, you can see that.
Well, you just look too, Scott.
You know what happens to those doggone motors, that window motors, whenever they take them out of those cars? They go straight in the trash. They don't even try to rebuild them. They go straight in the trash. And so if there's somebody out there who is a little bit ingenuity and want to start them up a little business, go out there and get those up out of the trash and mark them up what they're for, fix them, and then turn around and resell them to somebody cheaper and make you some money. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that goes in the trash. You'd be surprised what goes in the trash.
Those X13 motors you were talking about, the reason that they don't even try to recycle them is the way they recycle electronic stuff like that is they put it into a big grinding machine that has steel carbide teeth on it, and they grind it up in little pieces. Well, if those things have permanent magnets in them. So if they try, the magnets stick to the teeth and can jam the machine out.
That's why you have to take you'd have to just, they'd have to take four bolts out of each one and pull the magnet out.
Yes.
So exactly. There you go. Yeah.
That takes more labor than the copper and the steel and the motor's worth.
Yep. That's just, it's crazy, but like Shaziz talking about the motor's never going bad. That motor, that X13, I can't see, if it's in house or it's inside, that thing would last for long after me. Maybe long after my children.
I'm curious about those pulse motors you mentioned.
That's exactly how I came with so many hard drive magnets. When they destroy hard drives, there are several companies in the United States that's their main business. Large corporations send their hard drives, the old ones, to them to destroy so that nobody can get their information. But they have to load up and take the magnet out in order to put it in this grinding machine. And then, of course, they sell the magnet as a novelty, and then I bought 3,500 of them here a while back. The magnets are really weird. They're flat, curved, and one side has a north and a south on the two ends. Well, you flip it over, it's a south and a north. But actually, if you think about it, it's two magnets fastened together.
Well, those magnets that you're talking about, Raymond, those are awesome for little generators because in normal generators, you have to have what's called pole pieces to change the magnet from north to south and to do this every one. But I use some of those hard drive magnets to make a little mini generator, and it's only running off of a cordless drill motor, 12-volt cordless drill motor, and it's putting out 120 volts AC.
Great minds, you think always, Shaziz. That's exactly what I was getting ready to say. We work perfect, really small generators, really small, either handmade or converting small motors like ceiling fans into generators. Where you normally use 14 magnets, you need to sell one of these for each one, two magnets, and they are so dirt cheap, it's pathetic. I mean, the people that destroy hard drives have a hard time even getting rid of them. I mean, you find them all day long for, just like a couple of dollars a pound or less than $2 a pound.
I got a friend named June Amando. He helped write the book for GM on metallurgy. And just, like a half a percent of an added metal to something could either make it wear out in half time or be, last a really long time. He did a lot of writing on that, but guess who follows it? Not GM. GM goes against it, and there's a reason for that, but Honda, all them Hondas, they have a capability, there are more Hondas in the million mile club than any other car, and that's because, you want to go rebuild, your alternator goes out. You find out that people want to keep the original and just rebuild it because it's stout, it's made right, and it will last long. The junk that you get trying to get a rebuilt one where they put, they put these cheap bearings in and all that other stuff. Usually if there's one diode bad or something, they're just going to replace that diode. And you got one bearing going out, they're going to replace that one bearing. And then you're going to give it back and they'll give you a lifetime warranty. Yeah, so you can change it out every 6 months. That's a pain in the wazoo. You get the full rebuild kit, save yourself a lot of money. And on these newer cars, this is what GM does. They say, well, it's a newer car. They're spending lots of money for this, so we're going to charge them $300 for that alternator. And no, we won't sell no rebuild kits. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's all about metallurgy and how cheap they can build it and put it out there and get you to spend as much as possible for it.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with that one because that's the whole deal. If you can't find a red flag in what I'm about to say, then something's wrong because these guys are out there continuously on the news talking about we got to charge everybody a carbon tax because we're polluting the ozone layer and corroding up the air and all this and that and causing global warming, which is the biggest hockahooey in the history of man. But instead of them recycling, there's so many tons and tons of waste that goes on. Not just in the food industry, but in every industry out there, Instead of giving it to somebody who can get some use out of it, they throw it right up in the dumpster. And if you think about all the energy that it takes to, say, make a windshield for a car, and then you're going to throw thousands of dollars away just because there might be a little tiny scratch on it, tell me that ain't wrong.
I'm curious about if you guys have a consensus about Tesla motors. Do you think that's moving in the right direction? Because, I mean, mechanically it's a lot simpler, but is it a sound direction for a better vehicle, you think?
Well, I'll tell you what, anything Tesla is a good direction to go. The man was brilliant. His electric motors were efficient. They weren't made like junk like you see the motors that are made today. And if I could get a hold of some of his original work, such as some of his original motors, electric motors, man, I'd be in hog heaven.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I'm actually talking about Tesla Motors, as in Elon Musk, the guy who's been making the Tesla Roadsters and the Model S Model B.
Well, I actually know somebody that has the $120,000 one.
If they're not making them in the hybrid form, I would say yes.
Yeah, and the $120,000 form is kind of outrageous. It's like buying a rocket ship. They're neat and all, and yeah, the technology is awesome. He's pretty cool because I think he's open sourced all his stuff now. So all the patents and everything coming out of there are kind of like, he's just giving stuff away. I think he's opening up a lithium battery plant in some state.
Nevada, Maybach.
Yeah, gave him billions of dollars of tax, tax write offs and stuff to be able to come in there and do that. But he'll jobs. There'll be some jobs for some people. So I think he's in the right direction. He's cut down the cost of shipping things up into space.
Are they using hub motors in those cars?
They're using the whatever the motor is that's like gel, the DC, the brushless, big giant brushless.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm really impressed with them hub motors, and they make some really super fast motorcycles out of these AC brushless motors like you're talking about.
Yeah, I think they're gel. First time I ever heard about them, they were in remote control, airplanes and stuff. These, real high, fast, speed gel, like it's just some type of, I guess, I don't know, any Thomas right now. Anyway, he knows exactly what I'm talking about, how they're put together. But do you know how those work, Mood? The gel motors? The DC?
I'd never dream of a gel motor.
Yeah, it doesn't have brushes or anything. It's just getting bad. I mean, maybe I need to get on here and look on the internet and find what I'm talking about. But like I said, they have them for... But I believe that's what he's using. I don't believe there's any brushes or anything in it at all.
Well, if you got some sort of... conductive gel in between the armature, I don't see why you'd have a problem,
Yeah. Oh, they're high speed. You're talking about these little remote control airplanes with these. They're running 150 miles an hour. And they're little styrofoam things with these little high-tech little gel DC motors, rotary motor. It's crazy.
Well, the technology's out there. It's up to everybody to find it and use it and develop more stuff. I like taking things to the extreme, like the Slayer Exciter. I want to take that thing farther than anybody intended, because I see some potential with it in the frequency range. But by the way, that's another story for another Mad Science show. But, the technology's out there. It has been. I mean, the very first plasma reactor was back in the 1800s, the Mercury Arc Rectifier. Go look that up. It was a fascinating deal, but its only purpose at that point in time was to rectify high voltage AC into high voltage DC to run Edison's old DC motors, such as the elevator motors. And that thing has so much potential, it's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, to me, the most efficient motor is basically the dual permanent magnet rotor axial flux motors and generators. And basically, all you need is a controller for the other ones, or they can actually put brushes on those axial flux to make them a DC motor.
Well, if you took and used that same thing you're talking about, Muddy, along with what Ryan was mentioning there earlier about turning that into a pulse where it only pulses every so often, if you think about how things turn, if you're going down the road and every you give it a bump, every time you give it the bump, it's kind of like when Tesla used to sit around and flip that knife switch. It builds up a little bit of energy, and then that sudden boost of you turning it on quickly, man, I can see this doggone thing scooting down the road.
Oh, that's a very efficient way too. I mean, I'm not saying the gel motors, because I don't know anything about them. I'm going to have to study on them. But the but pulsing. If you got a DC motor and the motor controller on those is a pulse width modulator. Now, what it does is it's either a wider pulse or a skinnier pulse, but it gets full voltage and current during that portion of the pulse. The frequency doesn't change. The frequency doesn't change at all. But the cool thing about, see, if you try to lower the voltage so you go slower, that motor tries to draw more amps, and it's not spinning fast enough to cool itself, and it'll burn up. So pulsing with the full voltage and power, you know, allows it to get its full power for just a second there, and it works real good, and it's at a frequency where it's not going to feel like somebody's trying to move your car with a million hammers, you know.
Years ago, long before handheld calculators even came out, I had a little sample. I didn't be able to buy it at any auto parts store. And you only wanted with a little box, like a duplex electrical outlet box, and you wired it into your alternator. And what it did is take the alternator and turn it into full safety DC. And of course, the RPMs of the motor would judge how many volts, and you just tend to put a voltmeter on it and fire your vehicle up until you got 110 volts. The thing is, with pulse saving DC, you can run a 110 volt motor, 88 volt pulse saving DC, and do no damage to the AC motor. Where if you run it on 80 volts of DC current, you're going to burn it up. And the thing is, we had a 3/8 inch drill motor. Big, heavy-duty, husky guy, a friend of mine, and we plugged the drill into the wall, and he held the chuck in his hand and pulled the trigger, and he could hold it back. He could hear the motor hum, but it wasn't turning. We plugged it into my converter to pulse into DC. I loaded up to 80 volts, and it almost peeled. He could not hold it back. It almost peeled all the heat going out of the palm of his hand.
That's a square wave, though, and it will heat the motor up if you try to put too much work torque on it.
Yeah, but it was pulsating DC. It wasn't AC at all.
Right.
And that's the pulsating DC, yes, I believe that has a lot of power.
The key to learning this whole thing is that we've been using energy all wrong all this time, man. It's not that we don't have enough energy. There is no energy crisis. It's just that the average Joe hasn't learned how to use it correctly. I mean, there's so many different methods to create alternative energy that it's just mind-boggling. I keep saying, if you can't find free energy, you're just simply not looking hard enough for it, because we're swimming in it right now.
Right.
But AC motors are very happy with sine waves. Square waves kind of make them get hot. What? So if you have to buy something to run, if you've got some solar panels or a wind turbine, and you're going to use the power off your battery for your house, think you can use square wave for light. You use it for all that stuff. They're real cheap. They do okay. For a lot of things, but for running your refrigerator or your air conditioner, you'd really want to get a full sine wave inverter. But for your stove or whatever, you know, the electric stove and whatever you got that's electric, pretty much as long as it doesn't have a motor in it, or your computer. Your computer doesn't like a square wave either. It likes a nice sine wave. But lights and heaters and stuff like that, no problem for square wave.
Well, it's all in the delivery, man. It's all in the delivery.
That's why I have all three. I have good time inverters, I have square wave inverters, and pure sine wave inverters.
And if everybody was to have a smart grid system that only used what the actual appliance used needed to run, like your alarm clock that you plug in and has a 120 volt AC step down transformer to 9 volts AC, and some of them 9 volts of DC, why are you wasting 120 volts to run something that only takes 9 volts to run? Sounds stupid to me.
Yeah, your little old alarm clock there, you can run that off a 9-volt battery, no problem.
Yeah, you got one of those in every doggone room. That's 120 volts times how many other rooms you got.
Yeah, that transformer drops the voltage down around 12 volts or 8 volts. DC things can run. They're made for batteries. I mean, batteries start off at a voltage and drop down, so they have a wide spectrum of voltage that they'll work on. As a matter of fact, if you go up a couple extra volts, they'll work like they never did before.
So, like, if you're trying to build a solar system in your house, would you have those different inverters, those square wave and then the pure sine wave inverters, and also these step-down transformers going to your different appliances, and that would kind of do more to conserve the energy in your batteries?
No, the pure sine wave are the best. They're pretty much 97% efficient, 95, somewhere around there. Your square waves are less efficient, but they're really cheap to buy.
What I'm saying is if you was to start building a home from scratch and you modified your electric system to where you had, instead of one just AC outlet, that you had maybe a smart grid that you could modify your alarm clocks, for instance. Instead of having 10 step-down transformers for 10 separate rooms, why not just have one step-down transformer that all you have to do is plug into that, it's set to 9 volts AC, and you can run all of these off of one transformer.
Well, I skipped off not having a refrigerator, not having an AC, stuff like that, heated with wood. I used 12-volt system, DC. I just buy things that were, you know, that was pretty cool. I mean, you don't have to worry about the efficiency then. The only thing you have to worry about is if your wire's thick enough, because it's going to, you know, if you want 120 watts, let's see, 1 amp at 120 volts, or 120 amps at 1 volt is still 120 watts. You know, so when you drop down in voltage, you're going to have to, if you're dropping down the voltage 1/10, you know, from 120 to 12, then you're going to need 10 times the amps.
Well, what's to stop you from modifying any appliance out there to, instead of having to run off of 120 volts AC, it'll run off of 12 volts DC? If you've ever looked, I have literally moved a car from point A to point B on a standard transmission using nothing but the starter. The motor was completely bad. I done blew the motor up. I needed to get it off the road, so I left it in gear. I used the starter to pull that car off the road.
Oh, I in a 62 Chevy pickup with a straight six, I used the starter, just let her cool off a little bit, and I wore that battery down, but I made it over a half a mile to a gas station.
Well, there's a lot of torque going on in that starter, so that ought to tell you something. That
it's
kind of motor,
because of gearing, it's not much speed, but, you know, that's all right.
But you could gear it up and still, I still believe you could gear it up enough to run your doggone washing machine, man.
Oh, yeah.
So run your washing machine off of 12 volts instead of 120 volts.
Well, with gearing, man, you could take one of them little 12-volt DC motors out of one of your power wheels or one of your electric screwdrivers, and you can, if you gear it, you can jack your car up with it. It just takes time.
That's something you do with electric bikes too. Like, you have the direct drive motors, which are kind of like the standard ceiling fan type motor thing, and then you've got mini geared motors, which make the motors a lot smaller, a lot lighter. You just add a few more moving parts, but you can get a ton of torque out of those things with not much voltage.
Yeah,
just because of the gearing that you use.
Yeah. Well, look at my Peugeot bike. I don't know if you've seen that on YouTube, Muddy Muddy Mudman. It's a 27.2 cc blower motor, still motor. Basically, I put a skateboard wheel on the shaft where the blower blades were, and two square tubes. You know that that bolt that goes across so you can loosen it up and raise and lower your seat. I just put a longer bolt in there through both pieces of square tubing and a piece of wood between that I shaved down so it would be perfect distance. Tighten that bolt up, and then it acted like a hinge that was straight. And the cool thing on that is basically I let that wheel drop right down on top of the back wheel. And it would not wear out my tire. It would only wear out the skateboard wheel, but it'd take about a month. And I know I put over 1,000 miles on that Peugeot. And I got clocked at 45 miles an hour. And people ask me, what's the gear ratio on that, having that small skateboard wheel and that big old tire? I said, it ain't. What they don't understand is the top of the tire goes forward, the bottom of the tire goes backwards. That's if the bike is moving. But basically, if you're looking at it for standing still, when the bike's moving, the bottom of the tire ain't moving at all. What it all comes down to, it doesn't matter what size that rear tire is. It only matters what size that skateboard wheel is, because it's traveling on that tire at the same speed as what the bottom of that tire is pushing the road behind it.
Cool. Hey, here's a good one, guys. Here's a good one. Steven's talking about old vacuum cleaners, a good source for AC and DC motors. But there's one that's even more interesting than that, and you wouldn't think so, but out of a blender, those motors that come out of the blenders, you want some super high RPMs, you get a blender motor and plug that thing in without all the gears and everything on that and see how fast that thing turns, man. You freak. I couldn't believe how fast a blender motor was.
Oh, yeah, they're fast. Here's the best motor I know of that's got some decent efficiency that you can get out of something on the side of the road. That's the, not tape drive motors, but the treadmill motors. And they're DC, and basically you can put that right down on your tire. And it'll go, not the big part, but the small part. And I'd say 24-volt system would get you running about 25, 30 mile an hour.
Well, not only that, those motors are good generators as well.
Yes, they are. You can put a 4.5-foot prop on them, and they usually... With 3 degrees on the tip and 22 towards the hub, it gives it about a 4.5 tip speed ratio. It's not going to generate too well in the 7 mile an hour wind like would be great, but you know, when you get up 8, 9, 10 miles an hour, you start seeing the amps go into your battery. When you got 15 mile an hour winds, yeah, it's pushing it in there. My alternative is to put a bigger prop on it so we can actually get some amps out of it, which is going to make it turn slower. But you wire two of these in series, so you double your voltage, and these suckers have got the thickness of the wire on there and that the extra power on that prop, because every time you double the size of a prop, you get 4 times the power, but when you double the wind speed, you get 8 times the power, which if you do both, that's 32 times the power, so tailoring things is pretty good. But with the... you know, two 6-foot props, you put them suckers in series, they do nice. Okay. They'll start off at about a 7 mile an hour wind, 6 or 7 mile an hour wind hitting battery voltage, and they'll do fine.
If you use just what we were talking about earlier,
not bad, free.
And what Ryan was mentioning about pulsing the motor, you could literally build a bike, and I'm 100% positive that would recharge itself as it's driving using like two separate battery banks and two separate capacitor banks. If you took these two capacitor banks and you had some high voltage DC generators on each one of the hubs that would continuously dump energy into those capacitor banks that would in turn charge those batteries and pulse that into your drive motor, they would be pulsing back and forth. By the time one of them got through pulsing, the other one's charged back up, that thing would scream.
You're talking about your Electron 2 bike.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's really interesting sounding.
Oh, yeah. Check out Electron 2 on Shaziz. Just type in Shaziz on YouTube and Electron 2. You'll see him riding that sucker.
You know, people out there in the mainstream science, they just drive me insane, man, because if you go with a direct motor or whatever like that, sure, you're not going to be able to charge that because you're sucking too much juice. But why don't you not defy the laws of physics, but use some common sense and have one charging up while you're using the other one, and then as soon as that other one gets down to a low enough portion, you have a relay dump the other one over on, and you're running again, and meanwhile the other one's charging back up. Using the system that I'm talking about, you're not defying any laws of physics. You're just doubling down on the power source that you initially do it, and you don't have to go like to extremes and make it heavy, you know, weight and everything. The capacitor technology and the battery technology these days is incredible. And using it with some common sense and properly, there is no reason why you could not build an electric car that'll recharge itself while it's driving. If you look at everything that's going on while the car is driving, you not only got wind blowing in your face, you got wheels turning, you're turning the steering wheel, you're bouncing up and down the seat, your shock absorbers are vibrating to all get out. You've got so many things that are going. Why not use it? You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
That's a pretty picture. Almost sounds like a cartoon.
Well,
bounces up and down in your seat.
Think about it. Every time you flag your door, you could have a little deal on there that would go past the coil of wire and throw a little bit of juice in there. Hey, maybe it's not that much juice, but you're throwing it in there to the bank. And then you got your windshield wipers when it's raining. You're taking a little bit of energy off of that because you got coils over on your windshield wipers. You got coils on your steering wheel. You know, everything that has any motion to it whatsoever. You got four wheels on the car, for Pete's sake. Four high-speed generators on that thing. It's putting some really massive voltage into a capacitor bank that in turn, and if anybody knows anything about capacitors, an 800 microfarad capacitor will literally blow your finger right off your hand, flat out. And that's a lot of power. That's a lot of pressure. And so if you're charging these things up real time and you can't find torque out of that, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, if you look at how many amps you can store in a capacitor and then you multiply it times the voltage, there's a lot of power there.
Oh, yeah. They use capacitors.
They use fruit up with it.
They use
fingers.
They use capacitors to jumpstart electric motors. When the electric motor is under a load, they have to have something that will overpower that load long enough to get that motor turning. Once it's turning, it's all right. Look on all your old washing machines or air compressor motors and stuff like that. You'll notice there's a capacitor on there. That thing right there, it jumpstarts that motor. It gives it that initial boost that kicks it over. So why ain't we using that, man? I mean, all these different anomalies that were in all these different realms of alternative energy that we're talking about, I keep telling everybody, step back, put all the pieces on the puzzle, and then everybody use their brilliant minds to say, hey, you know, if you take that piece over there, you'll get more torque, and if you add that over there, you'll get more voltage, so on down the line. There's no reason why we should be even talking about alternative energy. It should be a done deal right now.
You guys just gave me a heck of a thought.
Well, let's hear it.
Induction motors. If you turn them, they'll make electricity.
Yep.
But if the RPMs drop below a certain amount, then you have to reinitiate the input electric. Therefore, they don't work that well on wind turbines because the wind is up and down and up and down. They work great as generators on waterfalls or any hydro plant where you've got a constant force. The two-stage oscillator, once it's running, is a constant force. So why am I thinking about building a daggone alternator for just putting an induction motor on it? Once it gets going, it stays. It runs at the same speed continuously.
Yep.
Yeah, if you look at the side of the motor, it says 1725 RPM. Which is usually a norm, 1725 RPM. What that is after you do the math, you're only getting 1725 RPM. You lost 75 RPM.
I'm sorry, 7,500. Yeah, you lost 75 RPM due to slippage. Basically, the frequency and what everything figures out is 1,800. So if you take it up another 75 RPM, you're actually gonna be able to get out. You're actually gonna be able to get out your 60 hertz. And what you have to do, you have to up the capacitance on it as well. And if you start it up and you're not getting any juice out of it, just spark the wires across the battery to start the electrons flowing through the coils and all that, and then capacitors will do the rest. But you have to up your capacitors, and it depends on the motor how much you have to up your capacitors. But the other thing is you also have to up the voltage rating of your capacitors too. Because if you don't, you have to take them up to about 3 times the size. So it pretty much just adding more capacitors with it and putting them in series will do you quite a bit of good. And you just turn them suckers. If you go to turn the power off, what you want to do is you go ahead and unplug your load. Then you shut that motor down.
Well, on
that way when you start it up again, it's got residual magnetism across the armature.
On top of all that,
blowing.
On top of all that, people's out there trying to figure out ways to defy the back EMF. Well, take the back EMF completely out of the equation, and instead of having it directly connected to the load, have it jumping across a spark gap into a capacitor bank, and then run the capacitor bank as your power source. You have no back EMF going on there.
My question, Scott, is what if you're not worried about 60 hertz, and you're not worried about how 110 volts or 220 volts, what if all you need is 14 or 24 volts? I mean, the induction motor should probably do that, isn't it? It's just in it.
Yeah, it'll do it. You'd have to change the capacitance to get it to go down to a different voltage. You'll be at lower RPMs and all, and you'll have a real slow, a real low frequency. You might be looking at, I guess if you got it down to 12 volts instead of 60 hertz, you'd be looking at 6 hertz. But you might not get enough flow to get everything going at that. You might have to go to something like 48 or 60 volts to get something out of it that way.
But I don't want that. I want direct current, so I'm going to put a bridge rectifier on.
Yeah, put a bridge rectifier on the output and only drain off so much. The cool thing about an induction motor is you're not going to blow it. You're only going to get a quarter of your horsepower out. Say if you got a 4-horsepower motor, well, you're looking at, you're probably going to get 746 watts, which is 1 horsepower. Up to a half a horsepower, you're looking at 1.5, you know. The deal is when you put too much of a load on it, what happens is you've drawn too much off of it, and you've stopped the electron flow, and you just have to spark it and get it going again, or rev it up really high, and you'll see when it pops back in, and it'll start back up again. But the deal is the electrons and the magnetism bail before it gets to that point where it blows it. So they'll last you a long time as long as the bearings are there.
See, before, the thing is, I'm wondering is, could you take a 10-horsepower induction motor? It spins, I mean, you can breathe on the thing and make it turn, but it's not making electricity because you're not using it. But my point is, if it was turning at, say, it's designed to turn at 1725 RPM, but you've got it on something that's turning it, not wind power, a flow of water, or a two-stage oscillator, or something where it's turning exactly the same RPM, there's not a 10% fluctuation in the RPM, it's running at 400 to 450 RPM back and forth. It's still going to make electricity, but maybe not 110 volts, maybe not 60 hertz, but it's going to make electricity. Am I right or wrong? If you put a bridge rectifier on it, then it's going to put out DC voltage. Am I correct or not?
Yeah, once you put a bridge rectifier on it, it will. And you're not actually pulling a load until you pull something off that DC. You should be getting somewhere around 1,800 watts to 2 kW off that 10 horsepower.
You might even get more. I've heard people saying that you get half of it out there.
So if I could put, I've got three 10 horsepower induction 220 volt motors, single phase. So I put them on my two-stage oscillator, and you can give me that when I get to 400 RPM on every mile, and it takes a continuous run. The roof is fire on it. If you think how that is,
we got you breaking up, Raymond.
Okay, my good guy is hurt. Oh, somebody's been to the lawnmower. Let's go ahead and talk. I'll come back. I'm going to the lawnmower.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
All right. Well, there's a whole lot of stuff going on there. And yeah, we're getting down to the wire, too. So we're going to have to try to start wrapping this one down here. But there's a lot of fascinating information. And that's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about, man. Take all these things in conjunction with each other and start doing this stuff. I mean, there are solutions out there without breaking the so-called laws of physics. Instead of, doing it the way we have been doing it to modify them, you see where I'm coming from, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot that you can do that, they really can't complain about saying, oh, you're going against the laws of physics. There's too much things out here that are in the normal physics that you learned in high school and college and stuff like that. You don't have to prove over unity and go against physics to get free energy, clean energy, renewable energy.
Well, energy comes in all different types of flavors, man. There's a different frequency for everything under the sun. I mean, sound waves, wind power, hydroelectrics, thermoelectrics, solar. You know, it just goes on. And those are just a few to name them. You know, a frequency generator.
Heat your house with compost.
Yep, exactly.
Give them kids a merry-go-round. Put a generator on it.
Heat your water with the sun instead of using the power. Unplug some of the stuff you're not using. Remodify a few of your appliances to work on less energy. I mean, if you want to...
That's one of the biggest points there.
Yeah.
Unplugging stuff. If people had to go off-grid, they wouldn't know what to do. I got to turn all this stuff off? Well, yeah, if you want it, use it when you need it. You know, what do you need five lights going on if you're not even awake?
But,
you don't need a bunch of these little wall warts stuck in the wall there. You got the computer off, it's charged up, unplug the stupid thing, turn the power strip off, turn the power strip off that runs your whole entertainment system, unless you're running your TV 24/7. You know, it's got a remote, it's got a circuit running in the remote saying, it's got a circuit in the remote that uses like about 5 or 6 watts continuously waiting for you to press the button on that remote.
Yeah.
You know, they're like they turn off their door and everything warmed up, so you turn it off, and that's a super waste of energy. Yeah, the 5 seconds for the thing to warm up.
One cool thing I've found recently that I'm a really huge fan of. I'm kind of an audiophile buff, but amplification is kind of an issue when it comes to sound. You got to usually use a ton of watts to push some of these speakers, but I found these little tri-path amplifiers, these little tri-path chip amplifiers, and these little things run at over 90% efficiency, and they only run on 12 volts, these little ones, and only take... You can drive speakers at 10 watts and get good volume from it. And they sound amazing. And you can run these things on batteries.
Well, you want to talk about amplification, talk about how they do those tuning fork experiments. They'll put a tuning fork, the tail of that tuning fork, into a box. Now, normally, when you hit that tuning fork, just while it's in your hand, the sound isn't that loud. But put that same tuning fork on that box, and you just amplified that sound.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't use any more energy. You just made it louder because of the acoustics.
Well, some people actually take that concept to build speakers, and they actually put their speakers in these giant horn waveguide transmissions.
Yep.
And it makes them a lot more efficient and a lot louder. And you don't need nearly as maybe you can drive those things on just like 5 watts and they can break your eardrums.
Do you remember the Bose?
Some guy that built speakers looked at the old RCA Victrola, huh?
Do you remember the Bose systems that they had out?
Oh, yeah.
Those were essentially... Bose radio systems. If you ever had an opportunity to listen to one of those sounds, you'll hear the clearest sound you've ever heard in your life.
Those actually use an internal waveguide transmission where basically it snakes the sound.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. They tunnel it out in such a fashion that it spreads that sound wave out all over the room and it sounds like you're like right in the middle of the concert.
Yeah, and acoustic sound research is pretty cool too. Plus they have these other speakers. They're nothing but big capacitors, and as it puts a static field on it, it draws these two sheets of mylar together and then back out. And basically it's the clearest sound that I've ever heard.
Electrostatic speakers.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, those are really nice. They aren't really pushing too many amps. But them things, they're running some voltage.
Yeah, you won't get a clearer sound from those things.
Well,
yeah,
that's
like an Earth microphone. It's, you know, it's like an Earth speaker.
We're down to the last. We're down to the wire down here. We got 3 minutes for our outro there, which is about 5 minutes long. So this will be the time we go around and see who's got anything last to say or tell everybody your YouTube channel. Just try to expedite your words because we're running low on time. Who wants to go first? Anybody? Don't everybody jump the mic at once.
All right. Well, I don't have a YouTube channel, but. I'm glad you guys invited me. It's a very interesting show. Some stuff I'm really interested in. And I am just very pleased with the positivity from it, too. Because there's so many of these kinds of people in these alternative radio-type areas on the Internet, and they get very negative and down about things, and it's hard to listen to. But you guys definitely have that, so...
Well, make sure you add us all to your contacts so we can add you into the Knights of the Round Table room, because we'd love to have you back.
All right, thank you.
So, yeah, you're an honorary Knight of the Round Table now, so you'll be in the Knights of the Round Table chat room now.
Oh, sweet. All right, thank you.
Jason.
Jason, you put a lot of good input in this program.
Cool. All right, well, who's next?
I will let Raymond go out there.
Oh, man, I don't know what to say. This was really a good show. This was just as good as yesterday. So, all you people
out... You got so many experiments going on, you got plenty to yak about.
Oh, yeah, but... I just don't like to brag.
All right, well, it's been spectacular. Who's next?
Well, he's got cold steam, he's got that old Wally...
Well, hurry up, we're running out of time.
Okay, great show. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Cool. Good to have you here, Dublin. Buddy, you're it.
All right. Just spell muddy, muddy, mud with two D's, and man with two N's. Muddy, muddy, mud, man. Ram it all together as one word. And, sorry, Jimmy, not now. Have it all together as one word. Type it in anywhere. It'll lead you to my YouTube channel. Show you how to make Stirling engines out of junk in a trash can. How to design and build your alternators. It's even got, if you type in the bike, you'll see my Peugeot with that 27.2cc engine on it. I got clocked at 45 on that bad boy. And the next thing I'm going to be doing is a three-wheeled recumbent reverse trike with a... tape drive motor on it and a couple batteries. I want to start running back and forth to the shop with that and enjoying.
Cool.
Hey, Scott, remind the people not to put the muddy, muddy, mud man. I've known several people try to find you, and they always put the muddy, muddy, muddy man.
Alright, well, here you go, guys. If you can't find muddy, muddy, mud man, jump over there to Shazizz on YouTube, and I got links to all their channels, all the alternative energy researchers. And any other new researchers that come online, we'll add them. So there's links on my YouTube channel to all these guys.
There's links on the website to all of them, and what we don't have, we will put up there. So with that said, it's been a wonderful show once again on the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I hope you got something positive out of it. And so peace and love to everybody. Stay tuned. Same time, same channel. Next go around. Peace
One
and love.
One thing, Cheryl Smale is next.
Cool.
Debut show.
And I think it had something to do with the flower power healing.
Yeah.
Right on. All right, well, peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scenes, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Fulfill the terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.